Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You said you were getting the Knock Knock doll. Did that arrive?
It did, and I've had a lot of experiences with him. He's made headlines in some of the press over here in the UK.
From Real Life to Literature and Movies, A Cursed Collection of Haunted Dolls by Fiona Dodwell. And what I have heard about haunted dolls, and from what I've read in the book, it's kind of a wide open game. Some people believe it, and other people are kind of agnostic. You interviewed people who were involved with shootings of movie, filming, not shooting, of haunted doll, you know, movies and stuff like that. And some people who had been on them, actually, you might have had some experience. For the most part, it's the people I find most interesting who have had haunted dolls, and you now have a haunted doll after doing this. Was this the plan all along?
Well, I'd always had a fascination with this whole idea of an object being haunted, and I was really fascinated with cases of that had kind of made a huge impact, really, in paranormal culture, you know, like the Annabelle doll and Robert doll. So I knew at some point that it would really kind of help my own knowledge and experience if I was to have a haunted doll of my own. So during the writing of the book, there was two sisters that I got in contact with. They nicknamed themselves Supernatural Sisters, and they're really into the whole study of haunted objects. And they reached out to me and they said, oh, we've got a clown doll called Knock Knock Harry. And they said that I'd be welcome to have him and have that experience myself. While I was writing the book. And because Harry arrived quite late into the process of when I was writing the book, he's mentioned briefly in a chapter in there, but a lot of the experiences have happened since. So I'll be happy to kind of include him in a future book. I'm working on a second book at the moment, and I will definitely be including him. And he's made headlines here in the UK recently as well. So he's definitely made an impact and helped kind of confirm to me that, you know, the whole idea of a doll being haunted is a reality, and it does happen.
Oh, I certainly believe it. My own experience, I bought a Marilyn Monroe doll. I went into an antique store. The light in the cabinet where the doll was displayed went off. It was blinking. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Not connecting it to the fact that the doll was part of that until I got home. and then...
Wow.
So then I realized it wasn't a big deal. It was just very minor. And I ended up putting her at an antique shop, and somebody switched the price and she got sold. And I thought, that's just fine. She found her own home. I'm good. But yeah, it's surprising. Okay. Because these are things that we don't talk about every day. But then when you have your own experience, then it's a whole different angle. And I'm so glad to hear, because I was reading the book. I'm like, oh my gosh, you got a doll. And he said, I can't talk about it now. It's on the way. And so I'm really excited about hearing your experiences with this doll.
Yeah, I mean, it has been incredible, really, because I'm somebody who believes in spirits and in hauntings because of experiences that I had growing up. I'd never had a direct experience with a haunted object, but it was an aspect of the paranormal that I found the most interesting and compelling. It was just something about that subject that really drew me in. So when I got speaking to these two lovely sisters, and they said this clown, and they said he's, you know, Knock Knock Harry, and he's available, and would you like to have him with you? And, you know, I just jumped at the chance. And to be honest, when I received him, I was kind of open-minded. I was just thinking, I'm not going to go in with any heavy expectations. You know, I'll see what happens. Something might happen, something might not happen. And I'll just literally go with whatever happens, you know, kind of where the experience takes me. But actually, pretty soon after Harry arrived, it was quite evident to me that he definitely did have an energy around him. And it was quite interesting that I found that, because I'm not somebody who is a medium. I'm not a psychic. I don't claim to be sensitive in that way. And yet pretty soon after Harry arrived, I started to get that kind of sensation around him, like quite a heavy feeling that I was being watched and that there was kind of an intelligence around him. And then kind of, I know it sounds a bit stereotypical, but it's probably a stereotype because it's true. The whole kind of cold spots and that kind of cold, shivery feeling you get. I started to get quite a lot of that when I was around him as well. So that, to me, started to indicate that there was something there. And it became quite uncomfortable at one point because I would have Harry in one position in the house and then I would think, wow, I really feel like I'm being watched and it's quite uncomfortable. And I'd actually end up changing his position to a different area in the house. And I began to do experiments with like some paranormal gadgets that I had, like spirit boxes and paranormal apps and things like that. And it was quite amusing because at one point I'd moved Harry so that I couldn't directly see his face in the lounge. And when I did the spirit box app, the words came up, move to shelf or something like that. And I thought, oh, wow, it's almost like he's directing me to put him back where he wants to be in the house, which, you know, which is, you know, quite funny. he knew what he wanted, sort of thing. So then after a bit of time, I started to do other experiments, really. I bought these touch sensor balls that light up, and they only light up if you touch or move them, basically. And I put one on Harry. There's been several occasions where I've said to him, Harry, if you're able to do this, can you make the ball light up? And then almost instantly, you know, the ball was lit up. Mm-hmm. And I found that quite compelling. And then I tried a spirit box experiment where I said, you know, can you confirm your name to me? Have we got your name right? What is your name? And then the reply came really quite clearly and it said, knock, knock, Harry, hi, like that.
I like that. I mean, this had to be like a next level experience where all of a sudden, even though you say you're not a sensitive and that isn't anything that you identify as, that this has maybe opened you up a little bit more because you become more attuned and more informed about how this can manifest. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think you're right, actually. I think actually the more experience that I'm having and have kind of had in a personal way with Harry and through having him in the house and owning him, it's definitely kind of opened my mind up and probably opened up my kind of sensitiveness to the whole area of kind of spirit communication and things like that. But I definitely do feel that heavy weight around Harry. And it's not just me, because there's been times when I've had friends over and they've said to me too, oh, it feels like we're being watched. Can you move him or can you turn him around? You know, sometimes you look at him and you would absolutely be convinced that you see expression change in him. And you know it's not literal, like a porcelain doll can't physically like change the expression, but it's almost like there's a manipulation of spirit kind of to show something, like a change there, which is really interesting. And then there was one time, and this was particularly eye-opening, where I was trying to do an EVP session, no, a spirit box session with another doll that had come into my possession called Edna. And I was trying to communicate with this doll to see if there was any energy attached to Edna. And I had this spirit box app running and I said, is there anything you'd like to say, Edna? And then like almost instantly, quite an angry sounding voice said, it's not Edna, it's me, Harry. Like that. And I thought, wow, he's obviously quite a dominant presence. And it was almost like he didn't like the attention being on another energy that way.
Yeah.
And there's been a few other instances in the home as well that hadn't occurred before Harry had been here. And like I said, I mean, we get that kind of feeling around him sometimes, that kind of cold sensation, but been a couple of times as well where we feel like there's been that kind of fleeting movement, you know, when you catch a movement out the corner of your eye and you'd be convinced that someone or something has kind of darted past. And you know, we've had several of that kind of phenomena around the house, and these things have kind of only escalated really since writing the book and having Harry. So I definitely feel like confident in saying that he does have something to him, and it has just absolutely added a whole other layer of knowledge and insight for me, because when I wrote the book it was literally just my idea was just to approach the subject and study it and research it and just put together a guide to haunted dolls, and I didn't think for a second that I would kind of accidentally end up owning a haunted doll of my own. And that, you know, it has been a really incredible experience, and it has been nice to see reality unfold in front of my own eyes, because you can read all the cases in the world, as you mentioned earlier, you can read about these things, and it's hard to make, you know, a judgment on what's real, what's not, and there's so much out there that's dramatized. But once you see it for yourself, and you kind of really understand that these things do happen, and that people all over the world are having these experiences, it's really quite affirming, you know, to have that kind of confirmed in that way.
Well, I had no idea until reading this that there's the market. Not only is there a market for trying to, you know, sell or acquire a haunted doll, but there's also the resale market of after you've got a haunted doll and you really don't want it anymore. And there's that resale market too, where yeah. they specialize on getting rid of possessed dolls. And, you know, instead of just throwing it in the bin and saying, okay, it's done and it could possibly harm somebody else, this way, with full disclosure, the person knows, okay, this doll has a history. If you're okay with that, then charge on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was eye-opening to me too, to see that actually, you know, people out there have had objects in their home and haunted dolls, and they've not wanted to have that kind of experience. And many people find it unnerving and they find it frightening, and it's something that, you know, it's the unknown, isn't it? And people were very unsure about that. So it's understandable that there are some people who just do not want to have that in their home. And yeah, I mean, it is eye-opening that there are actually people out there who run, you know, little online businesses who are actually just literally trying to find other people who want to have this experience and match them with objects that have become available. There's a couple that were in America, I believe, and they literally are dedicated to taking in unwanted haunted objects and helping them find homes of people who do want to have the experience. So it's almost like a, in a crazy way, I suppose it sounds like a matchmaking service, but for the ghost world, you know,
yeah.
you can,
yeah.
it sounds quite interesting, doesn't it? But, you know, in a way, I think it's a wonderful thing because, like I said, there are people who just, for their own genuine reasons, don't want to experience this, or they find it frightening, and it's nice for them to know that the spirits or the energies and whatever it is that's going on is going to be going to someone that going to be taking care of it and trying to understand it and treating the object and the subject with respect. So I think it's a wonderful thing, really.
I think it's, in this case, it's absolutely fabulous that you're having your own personal experience and you can write about it, because there's so much unknown about what happens after you die, and why would a spirit be attached to a doll? And then in your book, talking about how they are sometimes deliberately in some way connected to a doll or an object. And there was even, I think somebody just had a haunted yo-yo. And I mean, it isn't just dolls, it's objects. And so to find out more about that and how to protect yourself or set a boundary, because obviously when you say he's in the house and he wants to be here and there, he's got a very distinct personality. It sounds to me like he's a showman. And this book is like, okay, here's his opportunity to say, I am here, I'm important. And it isn't even just about him. It's about saying this is possible, and we need to open our mindset from just seeing everything that has, like you and I, a physical body being real, that there are things that have intelligence and consciousness that just don't happen to have the body. And so when they find something, an object that they can attach to and say, here I am, we are educated. How's that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, and it's such a, in terms of like the paranormal, and this is one thing that I noted, that, you know, there is so much interest and investigation done with other areas of the paranormal. Like, people are open-minded and study haunted houses, haunted buildings, and exorcism, and all these massive like layers of the paranormal. And yet, like, the haunted objects seem to be like one aspect that was just neglected, and people weren't really looking into it properly. And I think almost that there was a judgment there too, with people. Like, even in my experience, when I expressed to people I'm writing about haunted dolls, and I would get, you know, from some people I'd get a kind of funny look, as if like, almost like in a humorous way, you know, like they don't take it seriously, and yet in another way they would take a haunted house seriously. And I really wanted to tackle that and break down that barrier and have people kind of explore the subject in a respectful and serious way, because as you said, you know, these are energies, they do exist. And if a spirit or an energy what can attach itself to a house or a room, then there's absolutely no reason why an energy might not want to link to an object. Because after all, we're just talking about material space, material, you know, bricks that build up a house, or the material that builds a doll. You know, it's, there's nothing special about these things. It's just about what the energy chooses to link onto. And to me, it makes absolute sense, actually, when you think about it, that if you are spirit and you have ability to link onto something, then perhaps souls, more than anything, it would kind of make a complete common sense that you would want to link into something that looks human and that reflects a humanness. You know, a doll that has the facial features and the eyes and the hair and the body. You know, I think it would kind of make sense to me anyway, if I was a spirit and I was able to link into something, I would like to link into an object that people like and nurture and impose personalities upon and have a respect for and have that human form. But yeah, I definitely think it's a possibility, and I do think it's a reality that spirits can link to objects in as much the same way as a spirit could choose to remain in a certain room where people kind of see the spirit in visitation. There's absolutely no reason why that same phenomena can't happen with any other object, you know, and that's the topic that I was just really wanting to explore and kind of get some understanding on, because it just seemed like one of the most neglected areas in the study of the paranormal. So that's really where the idea for the book came along, really. That's what I wanted to put together, this comprehensive guide to haunted dolls, and let other people make their judgment, but at least put something together serious that treated it with respect, and then let people take what they want from that.
I think people are curious about it, and especially if they've experienced anything with the passing of a friend, a relative, a loved one, and had some kind of a paranormal result happen with that, then it's like, okay, where do you go from here? And my own experience, this is now 28 years where I've connected with an energy, an entity that presents itself through a nightlight. The nightlight blinks, it flickers. And so as soon as you said you offered your knock-knock guy an opportunity to blink a light, absolutely spot on. That electric energy is a conduit. It's a way for them to engage and show, yes, this is here. And this is, you know, we also have an electrical element in our own bodies. So it's a natural fit. And so I'm like, of all the people that you talked to, there were several. I thought it was interesting. There was one, the doll had come apart. And so the leg of the doll, I believe, was still in the vehicle. And while that leg of the doll was separate, the vehicle, the window would roll down with no explanation. It was just rolled out. This is the kind of stuff that happens that we are still completely oblivious about. And some people say, no, it can't happen until they experience it. But I thought that was a really interesting way of saying, look, it's not just the doll, it's the parts of the doll. It's the energy associated with that, whatever it is, entity, that as long as it's connected, then it's active. That was impressive and also informative. Don't separate the doll parts.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was really interesting, and it was great to get to talk to people from all walks of life, from all different areas of the world, who had just been having these experiences, you know, and there's just too many of them to ignore, like to kind of downplay it, you know. It was eye-opening, and I did get to speak to a lot of interesting people who, you know, even people from names that you might recognise, like I interviewed Patty Negri, the medium from Ghost Adventures, because she owns a doll that she believes is haunted, and she's had her own experiences. And Jane Harris, she's one of the team members of the TV show Help My House is Haunted over here in the UK, and she was at one point the owner of Peggy the doll. I'm not sure if you've heard of Peggy, but she was quite a big case for a while, and I think she's actually in Zach Bagans Museum now in America.
What was Peggy backstory?
Well, Peggy is actually one of my favourite cases, and I think she'll always have a special place to me, because it was the case that, and this was back in 2015 when her case became publicised, that was the case that kind of really sent me into a huge kind of obsession and interest with this subject, you know, because obviously I knew about Annabelle and Robert. Because they were historical cases, you kind of only heard things in retrospect, but with Peggy, it was like watching it unfolding in real time. So basically there was a lady that had bought this doll, and she'd named her Peggy. And she felt that as soon as Peggy had been in the house, that there was just this really heavy energy, and she began to have nightmares. She felt like there were some negative things happening, and she attributed all this to the doll, basically, to the point where she locked the doll, I think, in a garden shed or something. She didn't want it in the house anymore. So she called upon Jane Harris, who's quite a big public figure over here in the paranormal world, and Jane went to collect Peggy and took the doll and said she would do her own investigations. Jane became convinced herself that Peggy was haunted. She'd done quite a lot of investigating, did a lot, like filmed a lot of things with her. I think there's quite a few clips online of things that were happening. She, like Jane, came to believe that there was something quite dark or sinister with Peggy. And it was around this time that the story began to kind of go a bit viral over here. I'm not sure if it was the same in America, but certainly over here in England, like it, she began to make headlines in the press, and there were people writing into like newspapers saying, well, I saw the picture of Peggy that you put on the paper or on the website, and I felt ill just from seeing her picture. And it became like a really huge thing. Mm-hmm. So in the end, you know, that she became like a really famous case, really. Kind of got the attention of Zach Bagans, because he's got his haunted museum.
Right.
And I think in the end, ultimately, he took Peggy, and I think she's still on display in his museum. But that was the case that just really interested me, because I thought, you know, I've read about all these historical cases, but this is happening right now. And I was able to reach out to Jane Harris at the time, and I interviewed her, and I was following all the different cases of people saying, oh, I've seen Peggy's photo, and I felt really ill, or I felt really affected, or I was having bad dreams. And, you know, it was a really far-reaching case. And I found that really compelling. So to me, that was back in 2015. And it's been ever since then, really, that my interest in the whole subject of haunted dolls just grew and grew, really.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Annabelle doll, that doll was on tour, and just this past year in July, Dan Rivera, one of the guys who was on tour with the doll, he died. That was what made headlines here, was here's this haunted doll on tour, and the person who's her carer is all of a sudden dead. And they're saying, well, he died of, it was natural causes, cardiac arrest. He'd had previous history with that. And at the same time, though, if you are sensitive and you do have health issues and one of these dolls is in your space, to me, that's an aggravator. because of the energy that they carry with them. And it, so it doesn't mean that the doll was bad or anything. It meant that they weren't congruent. It wasn't a good thing for him to be around the doll, period, because of the energy that the doll draws. And there was something in the book that you mentioned, there was a woman who was helping to clear a doll. She felt there were two spirits with the doll. One was a negative entity and one was a positive. The positive was seemed to be a feminine little girl, and the negative was a male that was more or less guarding the doll. And so he was, I think, causing more disharmony. And once she cleared that entity, the other one was able to remain. But she said she kept that doll. There was a rue or something that she kept with that doll to help keep that space, the integrity of the space, and protect the doll and anybody else around the doll because of that energy. So I think that addresses this kind of energy that these dolls manifest.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. You know, and as you pointed out, like with the Annabelle case, I mean, it's hard to kind of separate. I mean, when you look at a case that's as huge as the Annabelle one, I mean, she's known the world over now, and there's been documentaries and movies and books, and it's such a huge case. So people are always going to, if there's anything negative that happens around her, then people are automatically going to wonder, is this because of the doll? And I guess we'll never know for like 100% sure what we can say, oh, well, this is because the doll's energy is responsible for it or not. But I certainly agree with your point that if you are in a vulnerable place mentally, physically, or your health, your well-being, then it would kind of make sense, wouldn't it, that if you're around something with a lot of heavy energy, that could have that a negative impact on you. So much has happened around Annabelle that it's almost impossible not to look at her in that light. I mean, even when she was on tour recently, but I think this was even before Dan's sad passing, I think Annabelle was in a building and then a fire started or something, and it just feels like there's a culmination of one thing after the other, and her story is just growing and evolving even now in 2025. And her, you know, from her beginning in the 70s, like, her story hasn't ended, you know, it's still going on now, which is just really fascinating, but quite unnerving too. You know, when you hear some of the things that are linked to her.
Well, it just makes you more mindful of the fact that the energy that we have in our own body, our own sense of awareness, our own, the chakras, whatever, however you term that, it is fragile. It can be fragile. And so when some of these people who've had these haunted dolls say, I've been feeling sick for a while, I noticed it happened when I got the doll, I need to let the doll go, and, you know, where do I give it away? In some cases, they didn't originally think the doll was a problem until the doll lived with them, and then all of a sudden things happened. And failing health is one of those things. But animals are also picking up on these dolls too. That's another key point, is that when there are issues with the doll, the animals might be more aggressive and more guarding. And when the doll's okay, then the animals are, what you've written about, the animals are, there's harmony. There's no problem. There's one, I think the dog went and licked the doll, and, you know, the doll gets a lot of attention from the family.
Yeah. It's true, really. And sometimes, you know, people aren't even sure, like they're uncertain whether to blame an item that they have, you know, they're kind of unsure whether to say, oh, it's definitely haunted or not. But sometimes the truth, you can look back and see the evidence for what it is. Like, if everything seemed fine before, and then suddenly everything seems to change when you bring this item into your home, and you experience all this negativity or a shift in the energy. And then if you're removing the item in the end, like, you do get rid of it, or you find somebody to take object from you, and you notice that suddenly everything seems restored to a balance of how it was before, then you've seen that reaction in real time. Like, you can see what that energy can do, and that it's kind of like you see that confirmation once the experience is over, because you see the power it has to have the item and then remove it. You get to see the before and the after, and that's, you know, really quite striking evidence to see how heavy an energy can be and the impact it can have on a home and on a family and on somebody's life. So interesting.
And you talked about Peggy. Was there another of the people who have the dolls, another case that was one of your favorites?
There's so many, like, I've covered so many interesting cases, like some were more well known than others. But I think one of the cases for me that's particularly compelling, and I think probably most of your listeners will know, is Robert the Doll. The reason for that is, even though most people know his story in general, what I find particularly kind of fascinating about his case is that, you know, he from the early 1900s, so going back further than Annabelle, actually, you know, this is a very early case of a haunted doll. But it's the fact that, you know, you don't have to just rely on testimony from the past with this doll. You're actually seeing the reverberations now in these modern times, because Robert is in a museum in Florida and people can see him, and people are actually going to see him on display, and they're coming away from visiting him and saying, no, we've been having bad experiences since we've seen him. We feel like, you know, perhaps we've annoyed him or disrespected him, or we took his picture without asking permission, which is supposed to be one of the little legends around Robert, that you're supposed to ask permission and not just take a picture without asking. And to some people this might sound ridiculous, but it's happened so much that the museum are actually receiving letters, and it's been going on for years, they're receiving letters from people who have visited Robert saying, look, can you tell Robert we're sorry? Can you, you know, please lift this negative energy? We've had bad luck since seeing him. We've felt not right since seeing him, and they've had like a series of events that they attribute to Robert. And the museum have actually just got stacks of letters, you know, they keep receiving them. So it's not just one or two isolated individuals, there's a whole collection, and it's still going on to this day of people who say his energy is that powerful that once we've seen him, we feel the effect of having been around him. And to me, I find that, you know, to me, that's really interesting, because I, you know, I don't want to just rely on cases from years ago where you can't really grasp witnesses and anything that was happening from back then. You can't validate that. But when you have a case that has a story that interesting, that is still having a knock-on effect in these modern times, all these years later, and that's particularly validating and kind of confirms the reality of it, that this isn't just a legend, this isn't just a story from years ago. People are feeling Robert's effect today. And, you know, so that's definitely one of the cases that really took root in me, and I just find Robert fascinating.
Let me add another element to this, and because we're not used to thinking about energy. Indigenous cultures, some did not want their picture taken. They thought it trapped their energy in the picture. And so that was like, do not take our picture. Mm-hmm. So if an entity has an energy and you take a picture, that picture is tagged to you from the energy of the entity. So it's like a pipeline, all right, a cord. And there's that energetic cord where that entity can follow you and say, ha, 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 you thought I was there and I'm here and now you're busted. You took my picture. Now, you know, so there's what people don't look at are those cords, those energetic cords. And the minute you connect in that way, then you have basically laid a trail to your doorstep. And I think that's something that by investigating this information and material, you're giving a lot of information out that is helpful for people who haven't ever had this kind of encounter or contact. And not only that, when you decided to take on the Knock Knock doll, you have a diary from the minute before you had the doll in your house to the minute after the doll was in your house, and what changed and how you are changing because of the doll. That's the story. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm so glad. It's like, okay, you're the case experiment in a good way. Okay. In a good way to let people know, I had no idea. And now, I've got a better idea. I still don't know, but you know, I think that's how we get into this, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Like having your own experience, you can't compare it to anything else. Like, you know, it's eye opening and it's just really kind of mind blowing actually when you have it yourself, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think with Harry, like, because as I said, I wasn't able to delve into him too much in the book. As I mentioned, I have started, I mean, it's very early stages, but I have started working on the next book, and I will definitely have a couple of chapters on him in the next one, because of the amazing and interesting experiences that I've had with him. And I do think that readers will probably be curious to know how everything's developed with him. And I will definitely be writing about him, you know, just to give people that insight, you know, because I can feel like I can write now and look at it from a whole other side that I wasn't able to at the beginning of current book, you know. So it's kind of like seeing things from both sides.
you mentioned in your book, the dolls pick their people. And I think, like with me getting the Marilyn Monroe doll, who I did find out had an attachment, I hadn't intended to buy a doll. It just made me curious. And she was beautiful. She was the one that sings to Happy Birthday to President Kennedy. And so she's all dressed in this beautiful gold lamé type gown. And she had a recording with her. And so somehow I felt drawn to the space where she was there and the light was blinking. And I took her home. And what I think is so fascinating is mm-hmm. that, you know, there's another part of this where you weren't interested. And then all of a sudden you got even more curious. And I think the doll picked you. That's my feeling. That's what I'm getting at. The doll picked you because you have a platform. You have people who are paying attention, who are interested, who are curious and might need the information. And this doll is going to help you tell the story.
Oh, Liz, it's a wonderful way to look at it, isn't it, really? Because, you shouldn't, none of us should forget that these energies are people with stories and with histories and, you know, with such, wonderful things to probably teach us and share. So, you know, to think of it that way, that there is spirit there and that they're actually the ones that can seek us out as much as what we're looking at them, you know, and hopefully seeing that the opportunity to share Harry's story. It might certainly have been the thing that drew him into my world. You know, it might have all happened for a reason, like you said, and kind of opened people's minds to the reality of it. Hopefully that's what I've done with this book anyway. It's certainly what I wanted to do, was show people that these things were a reality, that they happen, and that it deserves to be looked at in as every inch the serious way as we would with a haunted house or building, you know. It's not something to be mocked or taken lightly just because of probably how dramatized that Hollywood has made it and everything. I think people see it probably in a bit of a mockery or caricature way. And as much as I love horror films, I actually love films like Child's Play, of course I do. I grew up loving horror films. I think it's something I wanted to express in the book to people was how different it's universe away from how films depict things. And hopefully that's what I've managed to do just by exploring cases and pulling them apart and examining them. And hopefully people will see what the reality of haunted dolls is.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. A Cursed Collection of Haunted Dolls, Fiona Dodwell. And the thing is, you cover the stories, whether it's literature, whether it's film, you cover a lot of that. But the real stories, and this is the difference, a Hollywood film, you're talking horror. As soon as you said that, that's a category. It's designed to scare you. Mm-hmm. It isn't reality. When you get into the reality, sometimes these dolls are scary, other times they're positive. And so it's the whole spectrum of some kind of a relationship. And that's what Hollywood can't tell you, because it's fabrication mm-hmm. and fiction based on the remote, maybe, possibility of a true story, but still fiction and fantasy and drama, where the real thing I think is so much more compelling. I think it's so much more fascinating because anybody can experience it. And this one, we're going to find out mm-hmm. from you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely right. And I think that's what's going to unnerve people, perhaps, when people realize that it could happen to anybody. Like you said, you can walk into a store, an antique shop anywhere, and see an item that you feel really drawn to, bring it into your home, and then suddenly this could be something that you could be facing. And so, you know, that's not something that, you know, people are that comfortable confronting, but that's been the case for a lot of people. They've walked into their experience by accident. And then for a lot of people, it's not been a frightening or awful experience. You know, for some people, it's been really affirming and like a wonderful journey and opens their eyes to the world beyond the physical, you know, and kind of gives us answers to things that we never thought we would have. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that it could be a reality for any of us at any time. So it's something that warrants us looking at, definitely.
It certainly made me give a second thought to a haunted yo-yo, okay? That had not ever crossed my mind. Okay. It takes all kinds. All right. So somebody along the line had the yo-yo and decided, well, this is where I want to go. I'm going to follow the yo-yo. Okay. You got me. Has to have a sense of humor.
Well, this is the thing, you know. Yeah, well, you never know, though, do you? Because that's the thing. I think sometimes also it's important to make that distinction as well between you know, the idea between how an object becomes haunted. And sometimes it just could be because that item was in an environment where something really powerfully charging happened. You know, like the stone tape theory that we talk about, you know, if there's an object in the vicinity of something powerful happening, you know, does that object soak up that energy? Essentially, you know, when we talk about stone tape theory happening in a room, it's only because the bricks or the area and the environment soaked up something that was really a powerful charge of energy of something that was happening. So there's no reason why that couldn't happen around an object that could be anything if it was happening in a very heightened situation. So yeah, no, it does make you, it does kind of really open your eyes, doesn't it, to think actually, you know, energy is limitless and how it kind of touches upon the environment and manipulates things as well. You know, it's really an endless journey, really, when you really open your mind to it.
Okay, knock knock, Harry. Now, the most incredible, unbelievable experience you've had with him so far, what would that be?
Well, I think there's been a few things. I mean, I think like the most compelling things were some of the verbal responses I've had with him over the spirit box. So, you know, hearing him confirm his name back to me, that was really kind of like so clear that it was just unmistakable. There was another time where it kind of frightened me a bit. And I'm not sure whether I can repeat it for your listeners, but, you know, so I won't say the full thing, but I did at one point try and do a session with him with Spirit Box, and he was saying nothing, and it was just no response, nothing for ages. And just before I kind of gave up, I said, "Harry, is there anything you'd like to say?" And he said, "Yeah, you're a beep." I'm not going to repeat the word, but he swore at me.
A little cheeky, huh?
And that to me was like, yeah, I thought, oh, thanks for that. You know, he seemed like he's really got an attitude. And, you know, that at first, I think because I was a bit nervous, this is quite early on to owning him, I was a bit nervous. I thought, actually, that sounds a bit sort of negative and dominant. And he was interrupting other EVP sessions with other items and stuff. So, but yeah, no, I think it's just the palpable like energy around him. The fact that I can have people over that don't really know much about him and they'll automatically be drawn to him and like, oh, but, you know, they feel like they're being watched by him. You don't feel like you're alone if you're alone in the house with Harry.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like I mentioned earlier, the fleeting figures, like there's been a couple of times now where we've seen kind of movement darting. And that's the kind of thing that wasn't happening before. So it's just kind of linking all these little experiences, you know, the balls lighting up, the interesting captures on EVP, you know, it's just been a whole wonderful culmination of things. And some of these things I have caught on camera and I've uploaded it to my TikTok actually. So if if your listeners are interested, there is a few things that I've captured from Harry that I've put online for people to see, and then they can make their own minds up. But for me, I've experienced enough to really confirm that he's definitely there and that he's an intelligent presence, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's a showman. He kind of put you in your place and said, "Are you ready for this? Can you handle this? Are you, you know, how much of this are you awake for?"
Yeah.
And that pretty much got your attention, where I'm sure you're just like, "Oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done?" And he's just chuckling.
Exactly.
He's just chuckling. Ha ha ha. Yeah. This will be interesting. Okay. I see some of that. I think we bring our own preconceptions into it of what's really going on. And you have to have a strong persona to remain fully grounded when you're around these beings, these entities, they are so powerful. And you have to be, I think, very aware of your own person, your beliefs, your lifestyle, everything, before you take this energy on. And so you have the perfect background, having done all the research to know, okay, here are the pros and cons, and then to come into it with that sense of what next, the curiosity. And at the same time, that I think discernment that says, what am I really experiencing? And that's what it's about.
Yeah. And hopefully, like, because I did so much research writing the book before I owned Harry, hopefully what you've mentioned is true, really, that it helped me know how to approach investigating around him and to manage like my feelings around what was happening with him. Yeah, definitely. It's kind of gave me an insight to a preparation in a way to how to handle things before he even arrived on the scene. he's a fascinating character, and there's definitely more to come. I know that he's definitely kind of, like you said, a bit of a showman. I mean, there's been times where I've been in the house alone and I have heard some knocks and noises, and I've thought, well, I suppose it's all in the name, isn't it? Knock, knock, Harry. So he definitely likes making his presence known.
Okay, well, this is the perfect setup for book two. Starting off with the whole collection of dolls, the experiences, the backstories, the history, and then getting into up close and personal, a real encounter. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think I'm so glad you signed on for it. All right. And hello, Harry. You're doing a fabulous job. Behave. Yeah, he's got that. He doesn't take orders from anybody. That was just me just trying to say, be careful what you wish for, because this when you open that door, and Harry's got free reign.
Yeah,
he's gonna enjoy his 15 minutes in the spotlight. Okay, and probably try to make it longer. So there you go. Hang on for the ride.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will.
Fiona, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to book two, and I'll put links in the description for the show.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Well, thanks so much for having me on. And it was really lovely to talk to you. It's kind of like you see that confirmation once the experience is over, because you see the power it has to have the item and then remove it. You get to see the before and the after. And that's, you know, really quite striking evidence to see how heavy an energy can be and the impact it can have on a home and on a family and on somebody's life.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.